for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2012 Summer Family Teaching and Deliverance Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, July the 8th, 2012. Diane Beju is the speaker of the service teaching on Return to Me.
Amen. Well, we didn't know until yesterday morning when the Lord spoke to Kevin that this morning would be taken, the service would be given to Diane Beju. But God knew, and she has accepted. And Diane served faithfully here as the overseer of the summer youth groups for many years, and did a fine, faithful job. Many, many children have been touched through the ministry of Diane Beju and her husband, Ronnie. But she turned that mantle to James and Danica last year. And they did a very fine job
this
year. Yes,
they did.
And the lives of these children are being touched through that. But Diane is going to come this morning, and she has ministered here with to the adults before. Don't misunderstand me. But she is going to come and give us the word of the Lord this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You know, you can tell when God is at work and that when He has orchestrated every minute detail of a service, beginning with the praise and worship and reading of Joel, the prayer that he prayed, the word that Mary brought forth. Today, and all of that fits together with the message, I did not know I was going to speak, but God did. So we're going to go through this together. Amen. Mary, would you come and pray? Mary's my dear sister, and whenever she's in a service with me, I like for her to lay hands on me and pray for me. Hallelujah.
We've met each other through this ministry, and God just knitted our hearts together. We've not known each other a long, long time. We don't get to spend that much time together. We may go for 6 months before we even speak on the phone. But we're just one in the Spirit. And the Lord has just so blessed us with this friendship. And my husband is so blessed by Diane and Ronnie, and we just thank God for them. Father, I just thank you this morning for my sister. I thank you that you saw fit to call her this morning. Call her name forth to come and bring the wrap-up message of this wonderful camp. And Lord, I just ask your words to be put in her mouth. And I ask for her to have an obedient spirit to just put forth the words that you bring forth to her. And Lord, I ask your blessing to be upon them. Your words always bring life. And I pray this morning for abundant life to come from the message that she brings, and that it would bring life to the youngest, to the eldest, Lord.
Yes, Father.
And Father, we just ask that the anointing would be upon Diane, your anointing would be upon her and upon your word. And Holy Spirit, have your way here this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Mary. I want to start off by bringing the word of the Lord for 2012 that he gave to me in January. But I want to go back 2 or 3 years. 2009, the word of the Lord was hope. If some of you remember back 2009, the country was beginning to, and the church world was beginning to sense a turmoil. And we all needed hope. So God brought that. The following year, he brought the word transition. And at that time, we were in transition. We didn't understand what was going on, but he knew, and he was bringing us to the place where he wants us, that we're taking the steps day by day, year by year. Last year, the word was revolution. I remember when I told Ronnie the word of the Lord for that for last year was revolution. He kind of looked at me strange and said, revolution? Why would God give a word revolution? But he did that for a very significant reason. Because the church body, by and large, has been unhappy with the way things have been going. And so we noticed a revolt taking place within the church organizations. Now I'm not only talking about organized religion, I'm talking about even full gospel churches have not liked the way that these churches are conducting God's business. They're conducting business, but it's not God's business. So they began to revolt. So what did we see last year? We saw the young people. God bless the young people. I love the young people. The young people began to be raised up. They began to say, you know what? I don't like church as it's been. I don't like sitting in a pew and having nothing to do, going in there and not hearing the word of God. I don't like all the hype that comes with it. I don't like what I see. And so they began to seek God. They began to get on their faces and they began to seek God and say, God, do a work in me. And so throughout the country, throughout the world, you've seen young people unashamedly praising God. You've seen them worshiping God with their whole heart. It doesn't matter what lengths they have to go to, how far they have to travel. These young people are going, and they're going to be where they believe the presence of the Lord is. So if I had to say anything about all that, the presence of the Lord is not present anymore in a lot of churches. I'm not going to make that universal, but in a lot of churches. This year, the word of the Lord is return to me. So we're going to explore return to me and what I believe that he has given me and shown me about this particular subject. Let me take a moment to welcome those of you that are watching by internet. We trust that you will be blessed by what God has done so far in this service and for the remainder of the service. And we thank you so much. If you have an opportunity to come and visit Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, you will be blessed. So make it a point sometimes. Return to me. So I guess the first thing we need to do is look at return, the word return. The Old Testament definition of return is to turn back, come or go back. The New Testament is to turn and be converted. So there's a change there. It's turn and be converted. The whole message today is being taken from Luke chapter 15. So if you'll open your Bibles, and I believe another thing that God wants to do, I know that we have cell phones and iPhones that we can look at and have our scripture on there. I have that also. But you know what? I like this in my hand because I can underline and I can make notes in it. You can do all that on the iPhone too or whatever you have, but I just like the word. Let's look at chapter 15, verses 11. We'll start with verse 11. We all know this story very well. Verse 11, and he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me my portion. I want my share now of goods that falleth to me. And he divided them unto them his living. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And he went and joined himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I cherish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father heard him and saw him, had compassion and ran, and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. But the father said unto his servants, bring forth the best robe, and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand, and shoes on his feet. You know, I used to read that, and it didn't affect me until I got a revelation of it. He had two sons. One asked for his inheritance. He got it. He took off and he squandered it. The older one just remained at the house. So, parabolically, God uses an analogy of the two sons. In contrast, we have two churches. So today we're going to talk about two churches. So everything I talk about as far as sons is relating or to churches. Okay? First, we have the institutional church. As a significant practice, relationship, or organization in society of culture, our culture. The church, as we know it, is a body. I'm giving you definitions because I think it's always important to have definitions. The church, a body or organization of religious believers. The whole body of Christians, a denomination. This is Webster's dictionary. Definition. The institutional church is made of customs and formats that are not scripturally related. Very few are scripturally related. It has organized programming and is polluted by paganism. Now, when I say it's polluted by paganism, when I first learned about that, I said, what do you mean? Well, if you go back and study the history of how we got to where we are now and the practices that we practice now, you would understand what I'm saying. So I encourage you to go back and to learn about why we have an altar, this, a podium, why we have a big chair that a preacher sits in, why we have many, many things that are not even scriptural. They're not in the Word of God at all. Some of you are looking at me. I just exhort you to go and do your study. So then we have what we'll term today as an organic church. I'm a gardener. So we'll talk about what organic means to gardening, and then we'll relate it to the subject of return to me. Organic means involving the use of food produced with the use of feed or fertilizer of plant or animal origin without employment of chemically formulated fertilizer, growth stimulants, antibiotics, or pesticides. Now, that in itself will preach. Involving the use of food. What food would they be what food? How could we make the correlation with the Word? The food is what? Okay, I want to hear some input. The Word of God. So, without the use of feed or fertilizer, what would that be?
Without embellishment, without man entering in and trying to manipulate what God has already done. Amen? Okay. And then, so, with the use of feed or fertilizer, etc. Now, I'll let you go and explore the rest of it, because there's a whole lot there. Whet your appetite with that. The organic church also has no particular models to follow. It only has one person that it follows. And that person is Jesus Christ. The Holy Ghost has preeminence in that type of church, that type of setting. I believe here we have the Holy Ghost has preeminence in these services because we follow the Holy Ghost. Amen? And so we don't want religiosity in here. Religiosity brings death. The Word of God and the Holy Ghost bring life. The organic church is founded on fertile soil based on biblical truths and not ancient truths. Every member functioning being Christ-centered. So in an organic church, you know, I'm just using that illustration, in an organic church, everybody functions, but everybody who's functioning is Christ-centered. Everything is about Jesus. Everything is about God. What do you want? All of the worship is unto Him. It's not unto man. It's unto Him. It's not feel-good messages that you're going to get. You're going to hear the Word of the Lord. No matter how hard it is, you're going to hear it. And you know what? In those kind of settings, the Holy Ghost just dives into our heart and says, okay, this is what we're working on with you today. This is what you haven't seen that we're going to clean up today. And it's wonderful. Don't you like that? Yeah. Amen. Returning to a spirit, another thing about the organic church, it's returning to a spirit-led, spirit-fed, basic teachings of Jesus, of the true apostles, who will guide the church at this present time, this day, this time. Would you say it's time for the church of Jesus Christ to rise up and say, enough is enough. Holy Ghost, come and have preeminence in our hearts, in our services, in every fiber of our being, in everything that you have called us to be, so we can fulfill the destiny that you have ordained for each one of us. Do you want to wait until you're old and gray and say, God, what did I accomplish for you? I kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And I didn't accomplish what I thought. Or I can't see what I did for you. Is that what you want? Then today we're going to have a time of making a decision for your life and you obtaining the destiny and you having the road to travel to receive the destiny that God has for you. Amen? So we're going to use the parable of the sons to contrast the two. The older son, religiously based upon customs, laws, and contemporary formats, programs, gimmicks, godliness. I took my little Hannah to a church, and she liked going there. And when she would come out, I'd say, honey, what was the message? We played some games. Okay, what kind of games did you play? Oh, we got a little piece of candy. Okay. Then I began to notice, she'd say, oh, I want to get to church early. Really? Okay. So I said, well, I better be investigating this. You know why she wanted to get to church early? As did all the other kids. They had an Xbox or a couple of Xboxes. They had all kind of video games. They had all kind of pool tables and just whatever all those things were. I thought, God, please help me. I know I'm older, but where are you in all of this? If you can show me, I can accept it. Guess what? He didn't show me. And one other fact, she doesn't go there at all anymore. I've heard some things from the pulpit of that church that I just went, my God in heaven, who would ever say something? For me, it was blasphemy in the church that was being propagated. people, that's happening. It may be happening where you're sitting. Open your ears. Open your eyes. Hear what the Spirit of God is trying to say to you and show you. Amen. So that was the older son. He was just going through the motions. Do you feel like maybe you are just going through the motions every Sunday morning? Very few churches have Sunday night service, or Wednesday night, whatever they do on Wednesday nights. Do you feel like you're just going through the motions? That there's really nothing happening? And that you get to the point where, you know what? I got a good program on TV. I think I'll stay home and watch it. There's nothing going at church anyway. The younger son, he was never connected to the Jewish religion. But he was, this is key, but he was connected to his father. Listen carefully to this. The father's love drew him out of the pig mentality so that he could rise up a son to return to his father's house. The younger son was the prodigal. Prodigal means wasteful. The older son was pious. He was very religious, characterized by hypocrisy. He had an outward appearance of being religious. He had an outward appearance of holiness. It's easy to put on a holy face or act real pious when you go to church. Your heart be far from God. You can be thinking about what you've got to go buy at the grocery store and what you're going to cook and all kinds of things. Everything but God. Let's look at chapter 15, verse 14, and let's just read that verse again, please. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. Famine, extreme scarcity of food. Let's make the spiritual application. Extreme scarcity of the Word of God. You know, you can take care of that in your own home, if you will. And you should, every day, you should. A scarcity of true spiritual food. You need to be in a place where God is preeminent. You need to be in a place where God is worshipped and adored and honored, and that the congregation, as well as the leader, the pastor, the whatever, waits on the Holy Ghost. Do you know that? And Jane blesses me so much because she listens to the Holy Ghost, and she brings you into praise and worship, praise, and then into worship. Do you know that we should never, ever try to enter into a minister preaching or speaking without the presence of the Lord being resonant? Because then it's nothing. It is absolutely nothing. But when our hearts are tender and you can feel the presence of God, then you're pliable enough for Him to come in and for Him to make adjustments in your life, for Him to speak to you. Amen? And so, if you're a praise and worship leader, I encourage you, wait on the presence of the Lord. If the presence of the Lord never comes, shut it down. Go home. Starvation. I would like for you to raise your hand. Have you felt a sense of starvation in your church? Thank you, I see those hands. Have you seen? Yeah, you felt like, what am I going to church for? There's just nothing there. Well, let me give you some synonyms of the word starvation, because that's what it is. Your spirit is being starved. So, here we go. Some of the synonyms. Deficit, drought, failure, deficiency, inadequacy, insufficiency, lack, poverty, want. And that's just a few of them. Now, let's look at the reversal of that and look at the antonyms. Abundance. The Word of God says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So if you're being fed and fed good food, then you have something to give to someone else. And you don't need to say, okay, Where was that in the Bible? I know it's somewhere in there. I can't remember exactly, because you don't know. Adequacy. God supplies all. Can I have a response? God supplies all of our needs according to His riches and glory. Right? He supplies everything. We don't need to be trying to fix anything, to work out anything. He works out everything for us. If we will just trust Him, have enough faith in ourselves to have faith in Him. It's when you lose faith in yourself that you believe He's not going to do it. So you must keep your faith built up in Him, and He will do everything that this word says He will do. He's doing it even though you don't know that He's doing it. He's taking care of you every minute of every day, whether you're awake or you're sleeping. Plenitude. My people shall never beg bread. A lot of people are very concerned about what's going on in the country today. How are we going to eat? What if this happens? What if that happens? Don't worry about that. Did God for 40 years send manna and feed the people? Even though they complained, He still fed them on a daily basis. They might have had the same thing every day, but you know, they could have had that quail fried. They could have had that quail smothered. They could have had it roasted. They could have had it served barbecued. You know, you can serve chicken. I love chicken, so I find many, many, many ways to fix chicken. So they didn't just say, okay, here's a bird. Go pick some up. Oh, not this again. No. He made it special for them every day. And what did they do? They got tired of it. So what did they do? They murmured and complained. Listen to me. Whatever God provides for you on a daily basis, whatever God provides for you in your life, be grateful, be thankful, because if you are unthankful and ungrateful, guess what? You'll cut that off and say, well, it's your move. I'll sit here and wait for you. And you do. Wealth. Concerned about wealth. How am I going to make it? How am I going to pay my bills? I don't have a job. We don't have enough money. Both of us have to go to work. He's got a cattle on a thousand hills. Did I quote it right? Something like that. Anyway, He owns it all. He owns it all. I encourage, and I don't. Hopefully, I'm not stepping on anybody's toes. I encourage, if there's any way possible, for husbands and wives who have children, especially little children, find a way to stay at home with those babies. And you raise them instead of the hands of the world raising them. And if you have to drive an old clunker, and God will bless you if you're doing the Father's business. God will bless you. And that old clunker might turn into, you might go get blessed with your infinity. No. He knows who I'm talking to. He knows. So, I mean, God does that. He blesses you. So, okay. Let's turn to Amos 8, please. Now, we're on the prodigal son returns during famine. Let's turn to Amos 8, because I want to back this up with Scripture. Verse 11. There's a famine in the land, in the churches. Behold, the days come, saith the Lord God, and I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor a thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. God put it there. It's happening. It's happening now. It's been happening. But there is a revolution and a revolt that's standing up. Hallelujah. I love those young people. I'd like to get right in there with them. Religion will only cause a famine to grow inside of you. It causes weariness. So you say, this is me. I sat in a church. I used to sit in a church and I said, is this all there is? There's got to be more than this. But God began to prompt me as I was in the bus ministry, and had as many as 102 kids that I'd go pick up on a Sunday morning, would visit with them on Saturdays, go pick them up on Sunday mornings. And you know what? It was a blessing. Like, oh, it was just wonderful. Until the church that I was attending rejected them and said, we can't commingle those children with ours. I said, excuse me, I don't understand that. Why do you have a bus ministry? I resigned, and God moved me on. But you have to, if you're going to have something, you have to embrace. God sends us out into the street. He sends us out into the homeless, the prostitutes, the unlovable, the drug addicts. That's where our ministry is. That's where our mission is. You come into a church, and you're here because you should be discipled. You should be trained as to how to go about doing the Father's business. And if you're not in a disciple, a church that believes in that, find one. It doesn't matter if you have to drive and find a church that will disciple you so you can go out and do the Father's business, because you must be trained into some of the basic principles of the Bible. And so I encourage you to do that. I exhort you to find a place where you can be trained. And first thing you know, you'll be out on the street, and he will just bring so many people to you. I have to refer to Hannah again. Once a week I take, we have a fresh market in our city. And every day they have pastries, and they have bread, and they have all sorts of things they're revamping, so they get rid of cases of food. And so I pick it up on Fridays. And lots of times Hannah comes with me. Well, around Christmas time, I believe it was, we went to the St. Joseph's Diner, and that's where many, many drug addicts and the homeless go and eat three meals a day. Hannah took the cookies. There were a lot of cookies, and she took the cookies, and she went in, she began to hand them out, and she would say, Jesus loves you, to all of these. And that was a blessing. So she was in training for what God wanted her to do. You know, you can find a homeless person, and you can if you have to go to the bread store and buy reduced bread, go buy it and just take a bag and put it down there where you know they are. They're not going to hurt you. They aren't going to hurt you. But they will sense your fear. So fear not. God says fear not. So we've covered the prodigal son returns during famine. What are we doing right now? We're returning to the Father. We're returning to the Father. So you have a choice to make right now, or you have a choice to make. The choice is to remain where you are and refrain from truth. Or the other church is to rise up and return to biblical truth. Get back to the Father. Amen. Let's look at verse 17 now, please. And when he came to himself, he said, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger? He came to himself. It's a time to wake up and hear. It's a time to wake up to the clarion call to come out from among them. God has been sounding a trumpet sound for a few years now. I think sometimes, and a lot of the times, it has gone unheeded. But God says, this is your spiritual awakening. You are not here by chance this morning. I am not here ministering this message by chance. I had no idea I was going to be ministering at all. And I don't think they didn't either. But God had a plan, because he wants you to know this is your spiritual awakening. He wants you to hear what the message is going forth. He wants you to hear and respond to the clarion call, to what he's asking us as a body of believers in the word of the Lord and in him, to respond to that and to begin to act on it, begin to walk on it, begin to talk it, begin to live it on a daily basis. Amen. So he came to himself. 2 Corinthians 6:17, you can jot this down if you're taking the notes. It says, "Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, says the Lord, and touch not any unclean thing, and I will receive you." So we know in the Old Testament when they speak of that's talking about Levitical law. But in the New Testament, he's talking about your thought life. He's talking about your moral character. It's time to clean up your mind, your eye gate, your ear gate, your mouth. Romans 12:2 says what? "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." Every day we should be renewing our mind with the Word of God. And I suppose all of us have heard that hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times. Joshua 1:8 says, "This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, and I shall meditate therein day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written therein." It didn't say some of it. It didn't say pick and choose. It says, I will meditate on all of it. "I shall meditate between night and day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written. For then he will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success." Is that what you want? Yes. The third thing we'll talk about in verse 18 is, "I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee." The prodigal son willfully, willfully determined to return to the Father, to the Lord. He made a decision. "I am going home. I am going back to my Father." How many of you know that the Father's love is the most powerful love, whether it be spiritual and natural? The Father's love is critical. And that you have that relationship with him. Ronnie called me this morning, or I talked to him this morning, and he got up early to run a little errand at 5:30 this morning. And at 7 o'clock, he got back home and he made him some coffee and turned the TV on, and John Hagee was on. And he said, "You want to know what John Hagee is preaching on this morning?" I said, "Well, sure. You're going to tell me." So he said, "John Hagee is preaching on return to me." And he said, "Write this down." So I said, "He left the pit of self-pity and returned to his father's house to achieve his destiny." He left the pit of self-pity and returned to his father's house to achieve his destiny. We don't need to be sitting off and standing in a corner, licking our wounds and say, "Poor me." Get up. I can't even begin to tell you how many times I had to get up. We used to sing a song something like that, didn't we? What was it, Jane? Yeah, okay. I was somewhere. Whatever state you're in, God will accept you. It doesn't matter how much dirty laundry you have. It doesn't matter what's going on in your life right now. God, our merciful, loving God, will accept you, will take you back in the fold. It doesn't matter. He loves us. The correlation about the father, daddy. Well, we've all had a daddy. Sometimes we knew him, sometimes we didn't, whatever. But dad, there was nothing like daddy coming home and running, daddy, let me tell you what I did. Well, God is the same way. He wants us to run to him. Daddy. I can remember things my dad used to tell us. My dad was born in 1869. He would be over 100 years old. He's been dead for many, many, many years. But his words still resonate in my mind. I hear them. And it's a good thing. My daddy was a wonderful, godly man. And he raised his children. Let me tell you. He was a strict somebody. He was very strict. Dads, you need to be strict. You need to be firm. You need to discipline your children. Don't let them get by with all that stuff. Discipline them in any way you can. The best thing, one of the best things to do is when they ask you to do something, say, I'm sorry. I can't let you do that. Your behavior or your look or your attitude or your little mouthy self. So get that under control and you can have privileges again. Well, I'm probably meddling now. The Bible says, we read it, I will arise and make a determined decision to return to the Lord. Now you say, well, I'm not far away from the Lord. Is that in every area of your life? I suggest not. I suggest that we all, even Brother Colonel over there, I suggest he still has some things he's got to work on. Got to arise. Yeah, thank you. I knew I could pick on you. Oh, and his wife is affirming all of that. We all have things. Ladies, this is just so old. But ladies, somebody can call you on the phone and say, did you know da-da-da? What is that? That's gossip. Do you have a problem? Is that something that you need to arise and get rid of? Okay, so just begin to pay attention to those things, okay? So you have a choice, stay in the pig pen or get out. You can decide in that little pig pen you want to be socially acceptable by everybody and you can be the little butterfly and all that kind of stuff. You can be that in God's kingdom. Or you can die in religion, or you can follow spiritual truth. Now let's go to our very last point, Luke 15, verse 20, and it said, and he arose and came to his father. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him, had compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. Upon your return, you always find your father's love, and he'll forgive you. He kissed his neck. Do you know what that word kissed really means? He didn't just go up to him and grab him around the neck, kiss him on the neck. He kissed him repeatedly. You know, like you take a little baby and he kissed him repeatedly. Why did he do that? He realized, my son, the one I've been praying for so long, the one I've been standing on the porch looking out, waiting to see him come. He's returned. He's fully surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Maybe some of you have children who are out there that you've been standing on the porch waiting for them. Maybe someone is standing on their porch waiting for you. I know maybe some of you in here, I believe there are because I believe the Lord showed me that. And some watching by internet will watch the DVD or hear the message. But you think, God can't forgive me for all the things I've done. Yes, He can. He's just waiting for you. He's just waiting for you. So you have to make that decision. We talked today about the clarion call and return to the Father. It's all about coming back to His presence. It's all about coming back to Him. Not playing church anymore. Not playing with your life anymore. It's making decisions. If you need to forgive, forgive and get on with it. You might have to ask forgiveness 1,000 times for the same thing. But do it. Do it. No matter how hard you think it is, do it. God is waiting for you. He wants to bless you. He wants to change you. He wants to change those things in your life. And He wants to embrace you. He wants you to embrace you. He wants you to feel love. For the very first time, if that's what it is, in your life, you've never known love until you come into the Father's love. Never. He wants you to come out of your religious activities. just totally out of your religious activities. And if you say, well, I don't quite understand what you're talking about, ask the Father to begin to reveal to you, why am I doing what I'm doing? Why are they doing what they're doing? Reveal to me the areas that are religious activities, Lord, because I don't want that. God's Word talks against idols. You know, your pastor can be an idol to you. He doesn't want that. He doesn't want idols, period. So you come to the Father and you say, Father, how do I come out of these religious activities? Show me. It's all about you. It's not about pointing the finger at wife or husband or kid or anything. It's not about that. It's about you and your relationship with Jesus. It's about the fact that moms and dads, you can instruct your children, but ultimately it's their decision what they do with that life. We have a promise in the Lord that we raise them up, we train them, we teach them. They may go astray. I've had one that went astray. Carla has. And I have a wonderful testimony. I'll just briefly give it to you. This camp has been praying for my older daughter for years. I'm telling you, for years. And I'm here to testify to you that she was incarcerated at the state penitentiary. She is now out. She is doing wonderful. She is doing well. She is just a transformed person. It's not fake anymore. This is the real deal. She has fallen so in love with God. But sometimes, which I did with her, you just have to take your hands off of them and say, God, if you don't do it, it can't be done. And you know what? I took my hands off of her completely, said, I'm going to sleep at night. It's your baby, God. She's my child, my seed. I've done what I could do. The rest is up to you and what decisions she makes. It's been absolutely wonderful having her at home, because God spoke to me and He said, I want you to bring her back home. And I said, God, you've got to be kidding me. I don't know if I'm ready for this. Well, you know what? He's doing work on me as well. And He's doing work on all of us as well. So God will do it. Come back to the Word of God. So with that being said, I'm still one of these old-fashioned people. Still one of these old-fashioned ministers. When there's a service, when you've heard the Word of God, and you have a choice to make, we need to seek the face of God. Say, God, show me. But I believe that God spoke to me this morning. I asked Jane if she would play the piano and to offer you the invitation. He said, I want you to use the word invitation. I want to offer the invitation to you to not sit in that chair and say, God, see where those children were kneeling at that altar? He wants you to come and kneel, and He wants you to pour out your heart to Him and say, God, I need you. My family needs you. I want to come back to the Father's house. I know that He's calling you. He was calling me to come back to the Father's house. No matter what it is, don't just sit there and say, I'm perfect. None of us. Without the Father's love, we can do nothing. We can do nothing. Go home a different person from this place, knowing that you have cleansed. God has cleansed every area of your life, or that He's beginning a work. He's beginning the work in you. Newness and freshness. He wants to cleanse you today. He'll take that away from you today, if you'll let Him. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, you've given us a repentant heart. Thank you, Lord, that you deal with the issues of our life, that you sanctify us and you make us pure unto you, Father. There is none like you, Lord. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your grace and your mercy. Yes, Lord. We hear you, Father. Touch each one, Lord. You're filling the hearts that are lonely today, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Well, let's just go to the Lord. Raise your hands, please. Hallelujah. Father, we come to you today so thankful, Father, that you're our Father, that you love us. You care enough to send us word and correct us and instruct us, lead us and guide us. Father, I thank you that you accomplished that today in the hearts of every person in here has been touched in some way because of your word. We give you praise and glory and honor for it. And Father, we just thank you, thank you, thank you. We love you, Lord. We can never tell you enough how much we love you. We pray these things in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask that you would bless the food that we're about to eat. Lord, it is wonderful, and we thank you for providing it for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.